Would you bow with me over the offertory? Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day and gathering us all together to bring our hearts closer to you. I ask you to bless this money as it comes from the hearts, goes throughout your church to do your bid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
House of the Lord in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nice to be back. I've been gone for a couple weeks, had a family reunion, and then spent a few days in Nauvoo seeing some of the things that I hadn't seen before, and spent a lot of time with Mormons trying to convince me to join their church. But it's nice to be back. For an opening scripture, I would like to read section 4. Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God at the last day. Therefore, if ye have desires to serve God, you are called to the work. For behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. And lo, he that thrusteth in his sickle with his might, the same layeth up in store that he perish not, but bringeth salvation to his soul. And faith, hope, charity, and love, with an eye single to the glory of God, qualifies him for the work. Remember faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility, diligence. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. I'd like to introduce those who are up front with me today, for those who are listening on the internet. Our message this morning will be brought by Priest Larry Ellis, to my immediate right, your left. Priest Mike Hancock will be bringing the invocation. Then to your right is Priest Caleb Postlewaite, who will be bringing the benediction. And Brother Roger Resch has brought the introit and will be bringing special music this morning. And Kathy Williams is our pianist today. Now, if we could open our hymnals to hymn 381, we will begin open our services to Look for the Beautiful.
The opportunity that each has this morning. Thank you for each that has gathered in this place today for worship. We thank you for the uplifting feeling we each can gather when we come together as brothers and sisters. And we spend time worshiping you, Lord. Thank you that we can take time to sing our praises unto you. Pray, Lord, that you will bless Larry as he shares the message this morning, that you might direct his thoughts and his words. And I pray for each one that is here, that your spirit might touch them, and we can all feel that powerful love that you have for each of us. Just ask, Lord, that you will bless this hour. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning I'll be reading from Genesis from an opening scripture. Section 7, starting with verse 40, reading verse 40. And in the Garden of Eden, I gave unto man his agency, and unto thy brethren have I said, and also gave commandment, that they should love one another, and that they should choose me their father. I'm going to be talking to you about agency. Now, looking at scriptures and that, and looking for the word agency, it's not found very many times in the scriptures. It's found maybe 10 times total, in 10 verses anyway. Three times in the Bible,
0 times in the Book of Mormon and 7 times in the Doctrine and Covenants. But it's usually implied many, many times, and it's usually preceded by a big word. A word of condemning or a word of promise. Some of you might be able to guess what that word is. It's a big word, if. If we follow the laws and commandments, if we do the things that have been described unto us. But it is implied many, many times. We should seek the things of God so that we can build up our blessings in heaven and so that we can also bring about the cause of Zion. Because our life is with God and through Christ, if we so choose. It is through Christ that our salvation is given unto us. From the beginning, God has made loving and merciful provisions for each step by which man may attain eternal life. He has given us free moral agency, the right of every individual to choose his or her own course throughout their lives. In a book by Evan Fry, The Restoration Faith, he makes this statement. We may hide our sins from the eyes of man. We may commit crimes and seemingly get away undiscovered and unpunished. But every act, good or bad, every thought, every wish either conforms to and obeys law or defies and flaunts it. It therefore follows that every act, thought, and wish leaves its impression on us. And it has its inevitable effects and influence upon our total character. We are what we do. We become the kind of people that our actions make us. God's laws are eternal. The consequences of obedience or disobedience to those laws are eternal. Therefore, God's judgments, which shall endure through all eternity, for never can we escape from the consequences of our many choices, the total of which makes up our character. It goes beyond of saying do as I say, not as I do. We a lot of times talk a good talk, but our actions prove otherwise. And that's what we will be judged on, is on our actions and what we do, how we live our lives. It's not very easy to do those things which we've been taught, except through Christ. And obeying the laws and the commandments that have been set down before us. I wish there was some way that I could express the urgency for this type of counsel. I wish I could say something that would change all of our lives, But I can't, of myself, do that. Only through the intervention of God would that be possible. There's one thing that we have to consider is that we have to face the consequences of our choices because God gave us our agency. When man was created, he was placed in the Garden of Eden and was given his agency. And as part of that, God told them not to eat of the certain tree, the tree of knowledge. Of good and evil. And there was no force there to stop them or prevent them from partaking of this tree. There was no fence. There was no angel guarding it. It was all there. And by exercising their agency and being coerced by Satan, they chose to disobey God. So man fell. Note this, by the initial exercise of agency, of choosing to disobey God, Adam and Eve lost their agency to stay in the Garden of Eden. We don't know exactly what the thought process was after Eve had partaken of the fruit, and if Adam had the thought of, well, I better partake of the fruit too, because she's going to be kicked out of here if I don't, and she'll be by herself and I'll be by myself. I don't know if that thought process happened. I think they were on a much higher plane spiritually than most of us are now to think, because we have already been placed with that thought, or the tree of knowledge has already been part of our lives. But they were able to commune with God all the time and walk with him and talk with him in the garden. But I don't know if Adam had a choice to make to take that, to eat the forbidden fruit of the of knowledge of good and evil. Having partaken of the fruit of the forbidden fruit, the only thing that they could hope for was death. That was the only thing that they could expect. Because now they are going to be out of the Garden of Eden. They were helpless to choose life in the garden. And once they took that bite, there was no turning back. The thought process of knowing the difference between good and evil was already placed and in place. I guess that's why God says, blessed are the little children. Because that thought process is not in their being. It's not there. It doesn't say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, but they don't know if it's right or wrong. They haven't really grasped that. I mean, they've been told many times, I'm sure, by their parents, no. No. But that gets them ready. That prepares them for when they become accountable at the age of 8. Well, the only way that the deadlock could be broken of Adam and Eve only being able to face death was to provide man an alternative to the death so that they could choose life or death. And that's why the saving mission of Christ was taught and preached to Adam. That Christ would come to the world in the meridian of time and bring to pass his infinite atonement for all men so that men would have a chance for salvation. In the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi, it explains this principle. It was written several hundred years before Christ. I'll be reading from 2 Nephi, first chapter. And I'll be reading verses 116 through 121. That's 2 Nephi, first chapter. 116 through 121. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. Because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to act upon, to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last days, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them, which are expedient unto men, unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great meridian mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captive and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. Satan so desires to take our liberties away. God has always desired that man might have peace. And he offers it to us, but he cannot and will not force it upon us. For that would only make us more rebellious, less peaceful within our lives. In innumerable ways, God has expressed his goodwill and invited man to partake of his peace. That goodwill was created and expressed in the creation of this world. The world which we dwell in. It's been, his goodwill has been expressed in and all the things that he has created for us, all the resources that we have. All these things were planned out in the distant void of time. Everything was placed here for our benefit. So that we could live, so that we could choose. And especially, God's goodwill to us was expressed when he gave us our agency from the very beginning. If agency was denied us, there would be contempt, mistrust, doubt that man would hedge, that would hedge man about. And the laws and the supervision would be so rigorous that we would not be able to sin. But God loved us so much, and he trusted us so much, that he gave us free choice. God didn't want a puppet on a string. He didn't want us to do whatever he willed that we did. And I'm sure that we are more of a challenge, since man is basically an enemy to God. But it is through our free choice that he has given us that we can become like him and be with him in his kingdom. And that takes a lot of perseverance and prayer, because Satan, he's not going to see if you hold on to that rod of iron. He's going to make sure that you are tripped up every step of the way. He's going to make sure that you don't have a chance. He doesn't care what God wants. He cares what he wants. And that's to enslave us. And to go to the places that he wants, that or that he knows that he's going to be going. He doesn't want to be alone. But it is our choice to weigh the consequences of the decisions that we make. And one thing that we have, we can make bad decisions. It's just that we need to remember to repent. And repent doesn't mean to just stop for that moment. Repent means to turn around, to go in a different direction, 180 degrees. And to stop what you're doing, and to go the correct direction. For we are showing God that we believe in him and that we want to be, to have him in our lives. So why did Christ come and die for us? It's because he loved us so much and he respected our freedom of choice. And it was through him that we could achieve our salvation. There's one thing that we can count on from God. Well, there are many things. He loves us. But one thing else is he never breaks his promises to us. If he has promised us something, it will happen. Our agency requires at least four factors before it can truly be called agency. First, there must be two or more alternatives between which a choice can be made. Second, there must be knowledge of which alternative is right and which one is wrong, or which one is better and which one is best. There is no moral value in a choice made ignorantly or by chance.
No, it's a sign.
We can't just...
No,
there's just no moral as to it. Everything that we do, needs to be thought out. That's why we need to pray unto Jesus for everything that we do. Well, pray unto God through Jesus for everything that we do. Whether it's going to work, whether it's traveling, whether it's making a project out of wood or clay, consider God. Put God in everything that we do. And everything will be perfect. No matter what it looks like. Third, agency requires freedom of choice. If there are two or more alternatives, or if you are forced or coerced into making a decision and forbidden to make any other choice, there is no agency and no real choice has been made. And fourth, agency requires accountability. Somewhere, somehow, the consequence, its reward, or its punishment, they are all brought before us. And if we have repented of the bad decisions, do them no more, they will not be remembered anymore. But if we continue in sin, we will have to answer for those things. I'd like to turn now to Doctrine and Covenants, section 45. starting with verse 1. I think I better put my glasses on. It's a little bit hard to read the smaller printing. I do have a contact in, which helps a little bit, but the other eye doesn't see the same. Hearken, O ye people of my church, to whom the kingdom has been given, hearken ye, and hear and give ear to him that laid the foundation of the earth, who made the heavens and all the hosts thereof, and by whom all things were made, which live and move and have a being. And again I say, hearken unto my voice, lest death shall overtake you in an hour when ye think not. The summer shall be past, and the harvest ended, and your souls not saved. Listen to him who is the advocate with the Father, who is pleading your case, your cause before him, saying, Father, behold the suffering and death of him who did no sin, and whom thou wast well pleased. Behold the blood of thy Son, which was shed, the blood of him who thou gavest, that thyself might be glorified. Wherefore, Father, spare these, my brethren, that believe on my name, that they may come unto me and have everlasting life. Hearken, O ye people of my church, and ye elders, listen together, and hear my voice. While it is called today, and not harden your hearts. For verily I say unto you, that I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the light and the life of the world, the light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. But unto as many as received me, gave I power to do many miracles, and to become the sons of God. And even unto them that believe on my name, gave I the power to obtain eternal life. And even so, I have sent my everlasting covenant unto the world, to be a light to the world, and to be a standard for my people, and for the Gentiles to seek to it, and to be a messenger before my face, to prepare the way before me. Wherefore, come ye unto it, and with him that cometh I will reason as with men in days of old, and I will show unto you my strong reasoning. Wherefore hearken ye together, and let me show it unto you, even my wisdom, the wisdom of him who ye say is the God of Enoch, and his brethren who were separated from the earth and were received unto myself. A city received until the day of righteousness shall come. A day which was sought for by all holy men, and they found it not because of the wickedness and the abominations, and the confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but obtained a promise that they should find it and see it in their flesh. Wherefore hearken, and I will reason with you, and I will speak unto you and prophesy as unto men in days of old, And I will show it plainly, as I showed it unto my disciples, as I stood before them in the flesh, and spake unto them, saying, as ye have asked of me concerning the signs of my coming, and the day when I shall come in my glory in the cloud of heaven, to fulfill the promise that I have made unto your fathers. For as ye have looked upon the long absence of your spirit from your bodies to be a bondage, I will show unto you how the day of redemption shall come, and also the restoration of all the scattered Israel. It's our choice.
It's in the form.
It's all of what we decide to do of our own. We have help. And all we have to do is pray. And pray. And when you think you're done praying, pray some more.
In the oven? In the
No. So that we might have a chance to build Zion on this earth and to gain place with our Heavenly Father. That we might be able to experience the greatest blessings that we could ever, ever think of.
You can open your hymnals to hymn 242. We will use this as our closing hymn.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us, Lord, and for all those beautiful things you've created for us. And Lord, I'd ask that you'd help us keep our minds on things of you and be able to choose to spend our time with those who would uplift us and encourage us, and those who we might be able to share with about you. Lord, I'd ask that you'd help us to make those decisions in our lives that would be beneficial to the work of your kingdom, and that we might always seek out ways to serve you, that you would give us the wisdom to identify the choices that you would have us to make. And Lord, even those when those choices may be difficult ones, Lord, I'd ask that you'd grant us the strength to do what we know to be right. And Lord, please protect us as we go from this place, that we might continuously be in your care and be a blessing to those we come across. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That's what I'm saying.